Welcome to the Librarian's Guide to Teaching podcast. In today's mini episode, we will take a look back at episode number 31, where we discuss 21 teaching tips for 2021. In this follow-up episode, we will take a look back and see if we've made any strides in implementing any of these tips. Jessica, you want to get us started?
Sure. So I tried a few. It was kind of hard because some of them are more easily implemented in the classroom. Plus, I didn't have too much synchronous instruction. So I can just talk through the few that I did. So I did try the one about creating an agenda and then sharing that at the beginning of the session and then putting like signposts throughout the session. That was easy for synchronous PowerPoints in a Zoom session. So I had clear dividers for the sections in the class and asked for student reactions at the end of each one. And I didn't ask for student feedback on like what was helpful for them necessarily. I mean, I kind of said like put questions in the chat if you have questions. And I did get some Zoom reactions like raised hands or whatever, but it was usually less than half the class that even responded at all. And then if I asked for okay, well, what could we clarify or what questions do we have? It was like crickets. So, and I think that just has to do with it being spring a year into a pandemic, but hopefully that might've brought back in a few that had drifted away, which was kind of the purpose of it to kind of bring everyone back together. So that was one that I did try that was kind of successful. I had also tried the tip by April Hines about asking a student during a research consultation to describe what their perfect like article, book, et cetera, would look like. I was working with a student on a paper and the professor had created way too much scaffolding to the point where they were confused about the entire process. And it was just a regular research paper with a lit review, a discussion and results. And it was so complicated. And they had a topic that was based on their personal experience with a neurological injury. So it was scientific, but it was also about the mental toll of pain medication. So when we were looking for sources, they didn't even know where to start because I think they were a little confused about their topic combined with not even knowing what they were supposed to be doing for the assignment. They'd never written a research paper before. So I asked them the question and it really did guide our conversation towards specific concepts. It helped us kind of organize their topic a little bit. And then we were able to kind of figure out which specific database would be best. Like, is PsycINFO best or with something more medical, what we really needed. And so that was definitely helpful. I would definitely use that in as many research consultations as possible. let's see. I also tried to start class with a quick question and relationship building activity. And I'm not really sure how much it helped, to be honest. I was thinking that that one would get a lot more conversation going. And maybe it was just the timing in the semester and nothing would have helped. I asked them to raise their hand if, and then ask them different questions about information seeking behaviors. Like, do you follow the PACE sports teams on social media? Have you used an app recently to do takeout? And things like that. And I saw a few smiles on the cameras at times, especially when I kind of added in my own answers to the questions and connected it to information seeking. But I don't really think that those classes that I did were any more engaged than the ones that I didn't do it in. So I didn't see a big increase in participation above other classes. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't help certain students feel a relationship with me as this new person. But it did not reflect in their participation. So there was that, but it was also maybe two or three classes. So maybe I would try again in the fall and see if it actually helped. And lastly, I'm using the break next month before my maternity leave to kind of spruce up instruction. So there was the tip about, you know, using January or December to kind of really pick one lesson and improve it. So I'm doing that with my own kind of break month. And I went into a tutorial on evaluating sources and I did some updates. I made lateral reading more apparent. I created a generic SIFT lesson plan that I can use online or in the classroom. And so I'm also going to make a list of things that I'd like to explore in the fall when I get back, just so that I feel a little ready when I jump back in to be like, these were the things that I felt were a priority. So prepping myself ahead a little bit. So those were the four that I had. What about you?
Okay, so I tried some of the tips you tried, but I'll go through mine as well. So I tried tip number three, which was working with a faculty member to determine the best format for your instruction. And I really wanted to do something synchronous and live. And the professor kind of, you know, we collaborated and kind of talked about the pros and cons of it. And we ended up not doing a synchronous session. So that was kind of a bummer, but, you know, we were looking at the best, what was in the best interest of the students. So that was a fail. So I used, I also tried tip six, which was to encourage reflection through Padlet. I tried it with students for in an honors workshop, and it was an epic fail. The students, like, it was optional, so the students, like, really didn't respond, and it was kind of like blah. But I did it last week in that workshop that I ran for how to run successful meetings, and the librarians filled it out so perfectly. And so, like, it was a win for that, because we reflected, you know, librarians used it well, but in terms of using it for students, not so much. Another tip, which was tip 11, was using music in the background. Another epic fail for me. I tried to do it at a conference that I was facilitating back in January. I tried to do it while we were waiting for attendees to join the sessions. And I guess I just wasn't doing it right. And it was like overpowering people talking, and people were like, what's that noise? What's the music? Who has music playing in the background?
It's so interesting.
So it just was like so complicated. So I'm like, never mind. I'm not going to try this again. So that was kind of, well, not kind of, it was a fail. And then the last tip I tried, also like you, it was tip 18. I did it, the relationship building activity. I did it in a librarian workshop. And I used the same prompt as you, which was raise your hand if. And it was related to running meetings. And the librarians loved it because it was simple, icebreaker type engagement that really didn't require too much effort on their end. So it was a success, and it really did bring the group together and make them a little more comfortable with sharing their feedback with each other on meetings and facilitating a meeting. So that wraps up another episode of The Librarian's Guide to Teaching. Here's where you can find us. You can find the podcast at librarian_guide. You can find Jessica at librarygeek611. You can find me, Amanda, at historybuff820. And you can always email us at infolitteachingpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. We would love to hear from you in the reviews as well.